here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big bite. And welcome to a brand new episode of We Are The Universe. Thank you for hitting that download button or the play button, however you're listening to us. If you happen to be listening to this show on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5 rating. Please don't go lower. You'll wreck the algorithms and everything that help me with my my download numbers, my viewership, listenership. I don't even know if listenership's a word. I'm joined this week to talk about NXT UK by regular co-host Brent Caldwell. Brent's over in, I'm guessing, sunny Detroit, Michigan, right now.
It's mostly sunny Detroit. Yeah, partly cloudy, very humid, but, you know, not too bad.
We've been really, really sunny, but last night was just like thunder and lightning, which was first time I've had thunder and lightning for a very long time. So that was exciting. I don't loads of people get scared of thunder. Do you get thunder and lightning out there, Brent?
All the time. Yeah, constantly. Like over summer, we get thunderstorms like once a week, probably.
I'm guessing there's some like real reason for that, which some scientists or weather experts would be able to tell me as to why that happens when it's really hot weather. Because that's like, it's when you get in like real heat wave weather that you get the biggest like lightning. Lightning and thunder, I find. Anyway,
yeah, and I think part of it has to do with, like, because the central part of our country is so open and flat, and that's kind of where these big air masses just have a chance to just gain a lot of strength, and I don't know. Because I know the United States gets, like, more severe weather than, like, anywhere, from what I understand, as far as, like, thunderstorms and tornadoes and stuff are concerned, so... I don't know, but...
Well, we've just chatted about the weather on this wrestling podcast.
Yeah,
we were... let's get talking some wrestling. So I was at the NXT UK tapings this past weekend where they were filming in Plymouth, England.
I was not.
You were not there, unfortunately. You were not there. You were there in spirit, friend.
Yes.
The second time they've gone to Plymouth. It's actually the first time they've revisited a venue. In the run of NXT UK, they have gone to Blackpool, but that first stint in Blackpool doesn't officially count as an NXT UK show. So went with some friends this time. I was alone at the tapings there last year, so that was cool. I did do a review of the first night, which is available on our podcast feed. So you go back to the previous episode, we reviewed day one. That was spoiler free. So for anyone who wants to listen to it, there are no spoilers in that show. I may mention one or two matchups, but certainly does not mention any results or the takeover card, which these were the last tapings before takeover.
Yeah, so you know everything now, just about.
Well, the funny thing is you'd be surprised because they kept going on about how they had Andy Sheppard reminding us all the time that these were the last episodes before the Cardiff show on August 31st. And but in regards to the main matches going into that show, very little development in the ring. So I'm expecting a lot of backstage promos and, just like, interviews and stuff like that to develop it. For example, not as a spoiler, but we saw Toni Storm once in one segment. And she didn't speak, so that was it. So I'm hoping that the women's, but I'll tell you what though, even with that, the women's match, which obviously we already know, as it was announced, was Kaylee Ray against Toni Storm. That feud is personal, man. Like that is, I cannot wait for that match after what I saw in Plymouth. Oh God, man, it's gonna be good. And we'll talk about that a bit more now when we break down this week's episode. The men's title, obviously they've, it's not announced yet who Volta will be defending his championship against. So that didn't get a whole lot of two segments across the whole weekend. So again, backstage stuff for that. But the stuff again that was in the ring was incredible and probably some of the best NXT UK stuff they've done so far.
That's saying something because it was always amazing.
It was really good. I was hoping I was going to get to see my first ever contract signing live, but I didn't. So I was rather disappointed by that. But we did see some great matches. I didn't do a review of the second night. I was telling you, Brent, just before we hit the old record button on this, that so we recorded obviously the day one review on what would have been day two, just like about 4 hours before the show, and we planned to do a review of the second tapings later after the show, but unintentionally so much beer got consumed that I was too merry and too jolly at the end of the night to really do that. And I was recording them with Day Owen. Now, if you're an NXT UK fan, you're probably familiar with Day on the old Twitter machine. He's the spoiler guy, so to speak. And I went on his show. So as soon as we finished recording the spoiler-free one, I went as a guest on his show, which is the Developmental Podcast. You can search for that on your podcast app. And I took part in a full-on spoiler review, which was great because I was hungover a little bit and I didn't have to worry about spoiling things on that one. I had real concerns on ours. But so we didn't do one after the show just because we stumbled into a KFC. I then stumbled into a McDonald's with my KFC. And bumped into a super fan, Leonardo Marella, who I met. I actually met the day before in McDonald's. So he had a sign.
Which he was Eat Sleep Network Repeat guy.
He was, yeah. So yeah. I saw him from the other side, from where I was sitting, on the first night, and then I just saw him with the sign in McDonald's. So on that same night, so we got a photo, made a big deal of the fact, I got to meet him, and then. He's from Italy, so he flew over from Italy for that.
Oh, that's amazing.
And he does loads of it, actually, now. We're on Facebook now, and just like, yeah, he flies all over the place with WWE. He's a real, real super fan. And just by chance, it turns out he was sat in the seat behind me on the second night.
Oh, perfect. So, how about that?
Yeah, so hence we had a second photo with each other.
So where were you sitting on both nights? Were you...
Oh, right. Well, so the plan was on the first night I was going to sit in like the second row of the tiered seats, which is similar to where I sat last time in Plymouth, and it's just cracking seats where you're looking straight at the ring and the ramp and the entranceway, just incredible seats for the action. And then the second night we were going to be front row but on the corner, so like on the ramp side, so like we'd be in the front row on the ramp side, so I was like I would be three seats in from the ramp in the front row. First time I've ever sat in those kind of seats. But as it happens, so John Adams has been on this show a number of times. He messaged me to say that he had some free seats going. Someone had dropped out on him, basically. And so he had a ticket available for front row.
Wow.
So he offered it to me, and I was thinking, man, I don't want to ditch my two friends I was with. And we'd met up with Day at this point as well, my first time meeting Day in person, and he had seats elsewhere, but my friends encouraged me to sit with John and take the opportunity in the front row, so I did it. It just turns out that myself, John, and his friend were sat in the exact same seats that I was going to have the next day.
Perfect. So just... you were in that same spot both days.
Yeah. Now, the only downside to where we sat was, and it's amazing actually, that they charged normal front row pricing in that corner, is because you are completely obstructed by cameramen. I've sat front row many a time, but when you're in that corner, the cameramen are pretty much just parked, stood up on the inside of the turnbuckle, and they've got their gear. That's fine, they're doing a job, but even worse on the side I was on was that the photographer was also stood up there, and the photographer was making no attempts to duck down or anything, you know. So it's kind of like, if anything went like down to like any holes on the mat or anything, you just couldn't see below the sort of the first rope, the bottom
rope.
That happened
to us at Shine Wrestling a couple of months ago when we went to that. There was a photographer who seemed to always find his way right into our line of sight and didn't seem to be interested in shooting any other angles of the matches except for the ones right in front of us. So that was very special.
Yeah, as you know what I'm talking about then, yeah. But it was, yeah. You know, I saw some great moments, and we were, They were good seats as well. I was really grateful that John was able to give me that seat. It was great. First time meeting John in person as well. So it was just a really good weekend of just meeting these fans who I often talk to, actually getting sort of put faces to voices, so
I
to speak.
I gotta get across the pond, man.
You got it, man. You gotta do it.
I'm going.
Get over here. We're waiting for you.
I am going to. I need to. I need to be with my people.
Anyway, I'll tell you what, though, the shows were incredible. The best tapings I've gone to for the show. I don't think they filmed 6 episodes. Particularly the second night was really heavy on dark match material.
Did they tell you ahead of time it was dark matches?
No, but you could suss it out. Quite often, okay. Vic Joseph, I was right by the announce table, so you'd see the Vic Joseph or Nigel McGuinness, who was back on commentary, disappearing off. They'd vanish off. So anything with an NXT US wrestler in it was dark.
So that's how that went down. Okay.
Yeah, so there's it won't make TV. They as always, they taped it all, so I guess it gets saved for like a network collection or something. So it's all there, and when they do those DVDs of unreleased matches and stuff like that. So, but really cool. Shayna Baszler and Ziya Brookside went up head to head. That was good fun. That was they did storyline reasons for that as well. That were purely dark match things, but it did make sense over the weekend. And there was the first night saw Matt Riddle and the Street Profits take on Grizzled Young Vets and Joseph Connors. That was the main event of the evening as well. It was the only time we saw Grizzled Young Veterans wrestle that night, actually. And then what was the main event? Okay, so the main event on the second night was a returning Pete Dunne against... Oh, God, who did he face? Who did Pete Dunne face? It's left me. Oh, Alexander Wolf. It's a good match there. Again, dark match. Pete Dunne is appearing at these shows now and is not appearing on TV. So he appears to be done with NXT UK currently as an on-screen character.
Man, that's weird. I mean, it was weird enough going through these Download Festival episodes without him, but the idea of Pete Dunne just not being... I mean, I just associate him with NXT UK.
I'm assuming... I guess something's got to happen at TakeOver. With him, I don't think it's spoiler.
I feel like a lot is going to happen at TakeOver. Like, I just have this feeling that it's going to be like an explosion.
Yeah, I think he's got to get a farewell. I mean, he's not had his moment at all. And it feels weird as someone who was champ for so long and is synonymous with that title, with that championship, hasn't had any farewell from the show. So we'll see what happens with that. Interesting. We'll get on to this week. Let's just get on to this week's episode. We'll jump to the end very quickly just because we're talking about Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne, I found out, was actually also at these tapings. After the attack on Trent Seven and Imperium not being out in the ring at the end, Pete Dunne would come out with a chair. But it didn't make TV. Soon as cameras stopped rolling, Pete Dunne was out there. So they're still utilizing him for those ticket sales, the merch, the getting the crowd psyched. But he is not doing anything for on camera right now. So we'll see. Keep an eye on that one, I guess. This week's episode was episode, gosh, I've lost track. I want to say 53. 53, yeah. I mean, gosh, we're technically in the second, we're now officially in its second year of episodes, I think. So,
well, as far as episode number, when did the first actual episode air, like, calendar-wise? Because we did get double episodes for a while there.
It aired in October.
Okay. We're going to have to do a special when we get to actual one-year anniversary.
I was thinking we should do, like, a watch-along.
We could do a watch-along.
Of the first episode. See.
That'd be fun. We could talk about our favorite matches.
Oh, gosh, there's loads we could do, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, that first episode, man. Tony Storm versus Nina Samuels.
And then that Mark one Andrews, Joe Coffey. A big match later on. But at the time, it was just a match.
Noam Dar versus Pete Dunne for the United Kingdom Championship. God, those are the days. Those were the days.
I remember back in my day when, when Pete Dunne was champ.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, episode 53. So, very wrestling-heavy show this week. The thing, one of the things I love about NXT UK, my friend was telling me as well, because he just binged them to catch up before the tapings, and he's saying himself he loves all the promos that the show does as well, because it's so different.
Yeah, they're so well done and so unique, and I feel like we say it every week, but it's so true. Like, this brand just stands apart from everywhere else so well. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's definitely got that sort of British touch to it. Still, but the didn't really get any of that though on this week's one. I think we had the one Trent Seven pre-match interview. So I guess part of that's down to it was the end of the tapings. The interesting thing with that though is that, because that used to happen where the tapings kind of lived inside their own little bubble.
Yeah.
But they seem to stop that this year a little bit, where, you know, when you're in the World's Collider, the WrestleMania Access tapings, they were kind of building and announcing matches that were going to take place next week that were actually going to get filmed in Glasgow or something like that, you know. So a little less of that this time. But with the wrestling that we did get, a very wrestling-heavy show, was good wrestling, yeah? So we got some real feuds development and sort of maybe some ending of feuds as well, where the first match was Noam Dar versus Kenny Williams. So this has been building up right throughout the Download tapings. It's probably
kind of the main feud of Download, I'd say.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's had the most, certainly had the most time devoted to it. I think there's been backstage segments every single week head into this one. I think we've seen Kenny Williams having his face pushed in the mud by Noam Dar. Noam Dar's been particularly cocky around him about how maybe Noam Dar just needs to come under. I saw how Kenny Williams needs to come under Noam's wing.
Under his poncho wing.
Yeah. But there's been no real mention of Amir Jordan, so I don't know what's happened to him. He also wasn't in the Plymouth tapings either.
Did he suffer like a real serious injury? Because I feel like we would have heard something about that.
I know. I don't know anything about it. I've not tried to do any digging, but he didn't wrestle on the Glasgow tapings. He hasn't wrestled on Download, and he hasn't wrestled on Plymouth, so you're looking at about 18 episodes of TV, which is that's a long time.
Yeah,
a really long time. So hopefully, if he's injured, you'll get well soon. What do you think of this match then? It did get some time. It was a nice lengthy opening match. I mean, I don't know it, but I think it was about 10, 13, 15 minutes. So
it felt like about 10 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you find it, man? Did it live up to the hype?
You know, I almost feel like if it would have been in like the proper main event spot of the show and had the proper main event time, that it would have been able to be even more of what we were expecting, because I think that they certainly delivered on a great match, but it didn't quite feel like the feud ender. Like, it feels like there's still more to go between these two, particularly with the way it finished.
Yeah. If there's been one or two things where I've always kind of been like, down on NXT UK, was that when they've taken these hot feuds and they've finally given us the blow-off match, and then it's an opening match of the show, and it really stresses me out more than it probably should. But you always know it's not going to probably quite get the time it should get, or they're not going to work as they would in a main event, because they don't want to burn the crowd out. And because they did the same thing with Rhea Ripley and Piper Niven,
right?
That
exactly.
Was that had been going on for months, like 6 months, maybe 4 or 5 months, and that was an opening match. And yeah, same here. And it did, yeah. I think they would have torn it down if it had the main event, but it didn't seem like didn't feel like a final finish.
No, not at all. And it didn't even really feel like if it kind of almost seemed like it needed to be a little bit more. A grudge match, but it kind of was, you know, the wrestling was wonderful, of course, because they're both fantastic. I mean, the entire roster is fantastic. I mean, like, you know, nothing bad about the wrestling. Just I gotta feel like there's gonna be more to this, because that didn't feel like the end of the feud. But the match itself was perfectly fine match. If you just were to turn this on without knowing what was going on, didn't know what was going on with the feud or whatever, perfectly good match. Great opener, good wrestling, picked up the tempo as it went on. Lots of good, you know, a few good aerial spots near the end. And I love the, not, even though the finish wasn't like an appropriate feud ending finish, I thought, I did enjoy the finish very much. Just as a match.
I thought it was like just a very good TV match.
Yeah.
It was my feeling. I was kind of hoping we were going to get a pay-per-view style match, but there's still time.
There's still time.
I'll tell you a match that I was, until I remembered what the main event was going to be, I thought this match was going to steal the show. It was the six-woman tag match. The first time we've ever had such a match in NXT UK. It was Toni Storm teaming up with Ziya Brookside and Piper Niven, and they were taking on Jazzy Gabbard, Ginny, and Kaylee Ray. This was a good match, Brent. No,
I love this match. This was my favorite match of the show.
This got there was a "This is awesome" chant during this.
Yeah, I think by the crowd.
I can just imagine you there, sat at home, just doing the yes movements to "This is awesome." The bad guys won out. Kaylee Ray's team got the win. Yeah, but just some great stories being told during the match. You know, we saw Kaylee Ray do a wonderful job of always tagging out whenever Toni would tag in. It's obviously,
and even avoiding her during like chaotic spots where everybody's flying all over the place. She would just get out of the way, and I don't believe they touched once, did they?
No, they met if they were. Yeah, because they made a big deal, didn't they, the fact that Kaylee Ray got out the way of Toni Storm's dive through the ropes.
I think they
remember mentioning it. So yeah, I think they're really trying to hit home that there's been no physical contact between the two women, which is good. Obviously, Ziya Brookside's got her ongoing stuff with Ginny and Jazzy as well. And Piper Niven was kind of in it to be in it, but she had a great moment with them with Jazzy, didn't she? And Jazzy really no-sold even Piper's offense, I thought. When Piper was first hitting her with strikes, I just thought, wow, I was like, wow, Jazzy is such a beast that she's not even getting true impact off of Niven's.
And she called you out on Twitter.
Oh, man. So I've had some great fun with Jazzy on social media.
You need to get on this show weekend.
Oh, I would love to. I don't know what the deal is with all the, depend on the contract about whether you have to go through WWE or if you can do independent. I mean, Jazzy's fantastic. She did call me out on Twitter because I praised Ziya Brookside on the first night, and then on the second night I was kicking off that I'd yet to see Ginny and Jazzy on that tape, and then they turned out they wouldn't be on there in the end, and she called me out for supporting. Well, she called me out loads. the first time she called me out because I said, I think the tweet about Ziya Brookside was saying like, we all love Ziya Brookside, right? And then she retweeted saying, well, not all of us. I was like, brilliant. and then I made a comment about how many beers I'd had on that night, because I'd had a lot of beer on the Friday, because we were drinking on the way up as well on the trains, and on the way down, I should rather say, Plymouth is downwards from where I am. And she was like, oh, that explains your mistake last night then, in reference to cheering on Ziya Brookside.
That's amazing. I didn't catch that one.
Oh, God. I obviously get so many tweets during tapings, particularly if I'm there. There's so many likes and stuff, but it is sometimes you miss stuff. I was keeping an eye on it, though. And then, yeah, she owned me on that one then when I complained I hadn't seen them yet on the second night.
She was like, oh, you were talking about Zion.
Yeah, you should have supported us more, because NXT UK listening. I was like, oh, Jesus. And then we had a little... she got in touch on for some picture stuff for the next day on the Instagram. So we had a quick chat about the show. And she said what? And she said to me, man, what we're all saying about NXT UK, and that it's kicking ass. So love Jazzy. God, if we could get her on the show, that'd be brilliant. I know she has listened to the show previously, so who knows?
That's amazing.
Maybe she listens regularly, yeah. So if you do listen, Jazzy, come on.
Much love, Jazzy.
Yeah, let's just get them all. Let's just get them all, man. Let's just get Ginny. Let's get Tony.
Let's get Zaya.
Let's get Zaya. Yeah, I mean, contracts and press team be damned.
Yeah, let's just come on and chat. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. You just got to download the Anchor app on your phone, and, and then we can go. But no, I thought it was really good praising Jazzy. I feel like I made it up to her now. I've sung her praises, so I've made up for my social media behavior on the weekend. But,
social media behavior. Yeah, I loved them. So funny to me, but it just was.
Oh, do you know? I had to check what I tweeted like on the next day. So I was thinking, man, I was drunker than I thought. I was like, what was I saying?
Hope I didn't kill the show on accident. Jeez.
Yeah. Hope I didn't spoil anything. I think I may have posted about what the main event is for TakeOver.
Well, as soon as you told me that I owe you a drink, I knew what was up. But it's okay. I was considering avoiding everything for the weekend, but you know, I was appreciating all the photos you were posting on Instagram and stuff, and I was like, screw it. I
got some really good photos, Brent.
You did
some really good photos.
You're in a good spot.
I was, yeah. I mean, the second night a lot of them were awful, so it took some really good work. The first night was brilliant though. This women's match, man. I was into it. It's nice to see Tony wrestling because she just so rarely wrestles now on NXT UK. So it was good to see her and
that spot she did with Ginny when she did the three Germans and on the third one, Ginny flipped back and folded in half. I was like, oh my god!
The last one was brutal, wasn't it? Like, and of course, because Ginny had that injury at the Royal Albert Hall a year ago. I'm always just extra sensitive to those kind of hits on her. But her and Tony are so good with each other.
They have great chemistry.
Dude, if I was being honest, it should be Ginny and Tony at TakeOver. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've seen Tony and Kaylee wrestle, so I know we're in for a good match. But I feel like it should have been Ginny and Tony this time. But we'll get a good match. I did on this point actually, when I was watching this match and I thought about Kaylee Ray was when she was avoiding Tony. I thought to myself, Kaylee Ray has really got this match truly based off of her reputation on the indie scene in the UK rather than anything that she's done thus far in NXT UK.
Yeah, because she won a few matches and then she won the Battle Royal.
Yeah, she's faced essentially, I guess, enhancement talent in her matches, and she won the Battle Royal, but she has not come head to head with any significant name in the women's division so far. So she's really got this match.
She beat Isla Dawn once, right?
I think
that was probably that's probably her biggest marquee win thus far in a one on one situation.
But, you know, yeah, they haven't even before they established her as a heel. No, they didn't put her with Ginny. Haven't put her up against Piper, and yeah, I just thought that there's people who are perhaps higher placed in the women's division who you might have thought could have got the match, but it's going to be a great match, though, man. Like, I've seen them have some wonderful wrestling matches. I'm looking forward to being there for that because it's going to be a good match. And
I'm looking forward to being there in spirit and watching along on the WWE Network.
Watching live, man. Yep. Watching live. See at the
It'll
same
be
time
two
as
in the afternoon for us here too, so that's going to be great. I can, you know, just kind of wake up, get some coffee, get going, and boom. Pay-per-view, TakeOver, let's go.
I love watching wrestling in the daytime. It's because you can always do stuff afterwards. even if you think like they're gonna just run the show really, really long, you can think like I've still got my evening after.
Whereas that was what we ran into after TakeOver Blackpool. After it was over, it was like, shit, what do we do now?
how do we recover from that and have the rest of the day? So the heels won it. Zaya got cheated
Zaya
again.
Got broken in half.
Yeah. So Jazzy took out Zaya on the turnbuckle, just as Zaya had the upper hand, I think she did at the time, on Ginny. Ginny hit a finisher in the corner, smashing Zaya's face down into the mat.
It's basically like an X Factor, but with your opponent like perched on the middle rope when you it is brutal. I don't think we've talked about this finisher on the show before, but like it is a brutal, devastating looking finish. Like when she hits that, it should be over.
It looks so good on someone like Zaya as well.
Oh yeah, because she can sell anything.
Yeah, because she's so like, you know, she's smaller, she's bendier. She just like, it just looks brutal. It's like, yeah, when anything, she takes
anything you do to her looks like death. So it's like,
it's like, you know, like when Rhea puts her up in a, I can't remember the name of Rhea's submission hold now off the top of my head, but you know, she puts Zaya in it.
Yeah that was... And then I remember she posted like a like the gif of it like the next day or something. It was like, anyone else want to fly with Brookside?
Brilliant. I have to hunt that down. So Zaya got pinned. They protected everyone they needed to protect in the match.
That was a great thing about this match. Like, they went, they did the match. They all the storylines kind of continued, and nobody looked bad. Like, this didn't hurt anyone. It didn't hurt Zaya to eat that pinfall because there was like interference and blah blah blah. Like, you know, it's typical 6-person tag match stuff where it's just, it gets out of control, and everybody came out of this still looking good. Loved it.
Definitely. Let's talk about the main event. This is a very personal match going into it. Trent this Seven. A
very heel heavy show.
Yes, it was. You know? Oh gosh, but, yeah, it was. Now, yeah. Actually, now you mention this, yeah.
This is probably the most downer episode of this show from a storyline point of view that we've had so far.
And having been to Plymouth, Brent, it's not going to get any better. No, I'm joking. Oh, that's not a spoiler. I'm joking. That's a lie. That's a lie. I just made that up. I was so intoxicated. I can't even remember most of the match results.
I feel like I'm going into Avengers Endgame again. Take over Cardiff. Feels like Endgame.
Oh God, I don't think it's gonna be as tragic as some of the stuff in that. The main event was Trent Seven had obviously challenged Volta to this match a couple of weeks ago because Imperium, led by Volta, just wiped out Tyler Bate. A couple of weeks ago, we haven't seen Bate since then. Trent was forced to watch on that occasion because he's handcuffed into the corner of the ring. So this match, I mean, this was British wrestling.
Yes.
Like, this was, ironic because he's obviously not a British person. One of them wasn't British. But this is the style of wrestling that got the British scene back on the map. With just the chops we were seeing, some of the power moves. I just thought, really good main event. And Trent, I'm going to put this out there, Trent has always had good main events on NXT UK. And he has always gone full hog in them. Nothing left at the back. You know, it's just like the chops were just, some of them were brutal. I kind of wish that it was mic'd better on the ring. Because there's some of them you could see he was going for that real slap.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, as loud as it needed to be.
Yeah, and you couldn't pick it up. But I thought, man, I bet in that crowd it was... It was impressive. I mean, it had some time as well, the match. Interesting finish. Let's get that out of the way now as well. It was a referee stoppage after Volta. Is this the most heelish Volta's been? Like, he had Trent beat, but would break the pin or wouldn't even go for the pin.
He just wanted to hit him again. He kept powerbombing him. He powerbombed him like 4 times in a row, I think, before the ref finally called for the bell.
I think it might have got to 5, actually. Yeah,
That was just... Like, my heart sank a little bit. It's like, I'm feeling bad over here.
How does that, how do you think that makes Trent look in the grand scheme? Because does it do no harm?
In my opinion, it does no harm. I don't think it was any harm. I mean, Walter is a menacing figure. And they fought each other tooth and nail. I mean, you know, it was just a fight, and it was just hard hitting the whole time. I loved it. But I don't think it made him look bad. I mean, once you're hit with someone's finisher anyway, it's like, well, okay, I don't expect that person to then fight back if they're hit with multiple finishers afterwards. I feel like everyone in British Strong Style is kind of like permanent, like untouchable status. Like, you can do anything you want to them and they're still over and they're still fine. As long as they don't get buried for like months in a row or something.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think this hurts Trent at all. Just adds fuel to the main event fire. Wow, what a scene though when the rest of Imperium comes down and basically it was just protecting the ring.
Yeah.
Guarding the ring while Walter inflicted his damage. I mean, like, man, if I would have been there for that taping, I would have like just kind of walked out of there with my head down, like, oh, feel bad about what I just experienced.
Well Trent,
until you told me about the Pete Dunne part.
Yeah, the Trent was he's such a good storyteller. And so like the when he's in these kind of matches, great. I mean, yeah, it wasn't, it was stopped. The match came to an end because of referee stoppage, but it wasn't a squash. You know, Trent got a load of offense in himself.
Oh, yeah, Trent beat his ass. Like, yeah, for, you know, a, like, good part of it.
Oh, yeah, he did. And so it's not like, this wasn't a referee stoppage where the person losing was just completely overpowered and throughout the match. And also, what I thought was really good as well was that Volta got that referee stoppage finish without the help of Imperium. He'd beaten the hell out of Trent before they even came out, you know. It was
yes, nobody interfered, and that's like the fact that they were able to make Walter, because I feel like this pushed Walter even higher because of that, and the fact that they were able to get Walter elevated that much more without hurting Trent in the process is excellent storytelling in the ring.
Oh, definitely. And I think that if you'd seen this match on, this is going to be, I'm not going to dwell on this, but if you'd watched this match on the main roster, I guarantee you it would have been a screw job from Imperium that cost Trent the match.
Yes.
He would have been able to overcome the odds until those evil bastards in Imperium came and stopped him. So I appreciate what they did here. And the Imperium stuff, the guard in the ring, I mean, it's so great. And, such a good visual, like you said, and that does play into so much stuff that we're going to see in upcoming episodes as well.
I'm so excited.
So it's just like they're just planting it. You can see now, with the hindsight of like the next 5 or 6 episodes, I can see everything they've done. They're just such, there's long form storytelling going in.
NXT UK does that better than any other brand, like with the long form storytelling, with planting the seeds, with making sure that you're always looking forward to what comes next every week. There's never a week where I don't end up going, oh my God, I can't wait for next week. It's been consistent every single episode going all the way back to last fall. I just, every week I'm dying to know what happens next. I love it.
They're just so good, aren't they, at continuing the story progression.
Yeah.
Even when the wrestlers aren't in the ring. And that's what happened with this match, really. You know, this Imperium and British Strong Style stuff is, I've loved it. There is a little bit of, if I was to go back and binge it, Pete Dunne's absence from it all would probably be a bit jarring because he was neck deep in it all.
Yeah.
And then he was gone and Mustache Mountain were left on their own to deal with the issue at hand. So I think that would probably be a bit jarring, I guess.
It feels like they've kind of slowly over time just decimated British Strong Style. Like, took them down from 3-2-1 slowly.
And down to nothing now.
Down to nothing now. Yeah. So the download tapings were Infinity War.
They were.
The Plymouth tapings and Takeover Cardiff are Endgame. Here we go.
it's going in some great, wonderful places. And I think the crowd are going to be hot for the match that comes out of this.
I had to say about Trent Seven too, he can work, his style works with so many different other styles so well. Like he can work with anybody and he can adapt to them. Like better than just about anybody. I've never seen a Trent match that was anything less than spectacular.
Oh, he's so underrated. Like
he is.
Because he's so good on the microphone. And so good even in the ring for some of his, when he, you know, just his physical storytelling, like people will lose sight of the fact that he's a really, really good wrestler. He didn't just get to where he was on the scene by being good in the mic. Cause on the indie scene, being a good talker doesn't get you very far.
Right.
You know, that's a sports entertainment thing, you know? So you got to be able to wrestle. And Trent was one of the top guys in the country. So really impressed by Trent. I thought it was a really good match. I was thinking about this as we were watching it. Volta has been much more prominent on this show as champion than Pete Dunne ever was.
That's true. Pete Dunne, you'd see him like once every 3 or 4 episodes. It felt like,
yeah.
Volta, it's like, I feel like he's there every week.
He is, isn't he? He is, yeah. There. And I like that. I feel like the champ should have a very clear presence on the show. So yeah, no complaints from me with regards to that. It was just something that popped into my head. I was just thinking like, wow, we're seeing a lot of Volta, you know, because I was thinking like he'd had the two matches at Download. He had the one with Travis Banks in as well. Yeah. But then he also, yeah, he had the beatdown in the ring. He's had the backstage segments. I was like, he has been in every episode.
He's been heavily involved, yeah, which is good. You don't want anybody to even be able to forget about Imperium for a second. So that's great that they're doing that.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was pretty much the show.
Well, there was also the really quickly there was that grizzled young veterans promo.
Oh gosh, yeah, sorry, absolutely, yeah. You run us through this.
Razzie's this was cracking me up. Who interrupts somebody in the middle of their workout to interview them?
Razzie
strolls up to grizzled young veterans while they're finishing up some reps of squats. And then Zach Gibson does what Zach Gibson does and berates him. Like, what do you say? Like, is there any question that you can ask us that we haven't already answered? Go find us some new opponents. There's like, I could watch an entire episode of Zach Gibson just talking, and honestly, I'd probably be satisfied with it.
I tell you what, the stuff with the tag team championships going into TakeOver Cardiff that they filmed in Plymouth, that was some of the best stuff from the entire weekend of tapings. That tag match we're going to get at TakeOver is going to be hot, man. I was so impressed by it. And we'll talk about it as it develops, because I don't want to spoil anything, but there's just some stuff that was just going on that we just haven't seen in WWE for so long. And that's all I can say on it. Because if I say anything else, it's going to spoil it. One word will spoil it. But there's just some good stuff. Zach Gibson just owning the mic, as always. So, I forgot about that bit, actually. So, I thought this was a really good, strong end. The crowd were really good for this show, I thought. I thought they were great for the women's match. They were really good for the main event. You heard the Volta's bitches.
Yeah, that was so funny. That's the first time I remember hearing that.
It was at Plymouth. Yeah, it was at Plymouth, and I wasn't sure. So I wasn't sure if it had like originated there, but when I heard it on the TV, I was like, "Oh man, that's brilliant! This is a recurring chant that they're just gonna have to get used to it." I think
they're gonna have to, yeah.
whenever any of them wrote for a singles match or tag team match,
chant that they were doing at one point that I couldn't understand, and I meant to ask you about it, but I forgot to write down what it was. So if I think of it later, I'll let you know. But
no, definitely,
yeah.
There was one in that main event that I couldn't make out the last word of. Might be a similar one, but let's see if we can work out what that was. How have you found the download tapings as a whole then, man? If you were to look back at all six episodes.
I was surprisingly very happy with them, and I only say surprisingly because I just wasn't sure what the crowd was going to be like at that kind of event, but the crowd was awesome. And when the crowd is that awesome, it just helps make the show so much better, and they were into it every episode, every match. They were clearly wrestling fans because they knew who everybody was. They knew who to cheer for, who to boo. They understood like people's like, you know, nuances, and they had nicknames down. It was a very informed crowd for the most part. And that just makes it, so much better. And then of course the wrestling was fantastic because it's NXT UK. I really enjoyed every episode from Download, so that was awesome. So if they want to do that again next year, more power to them.
Oh, I think they will. I think it made a difference as well, was that these episodes weren't all filmed together. They were spread out, and yeah, they were part of like 2-hour sessions where they had like NXT US talent coming over for matches and stuff. But I think it made a difference that it wasn't the same crowd sitting there for the entire Download tapings. You know, the crowd was changing between afternoon and evening, and so I think that made a difference in making sure they were hot. I'm gonna miss the visual of the whole venue.
It is a really cool visual.
Yeah, it's gonna be sad to say goodbye to that, but I was just really impressed because I wasn't sure. I'll tell you what I've noticed actually, mate. The first episode from Download, which I think aired like a matter of days after it was taped, you could hear the bands and stuff in the background, yeah.
Yes,
that were playing. I have not noticed that since.
I agree. I think that they may have maybe after, you know, they probably had to get that first episode ready like really quickly.
Yeah.
And so maybe afterwards they were able to, like, you know, cancel out a few kind of ambient microphones or something that they had set up, you know, maybe not include those in later broadcasts or something. Because I'm sure that there's, like, I know the ring's mic'd, but I'm sure there's mics elsewhere in the area to just help pick up crowd noise and,
yeah,
you know, other noise and amplify the sound of strikes and things like that. So they probably turned a few of those off to eliminate some of the band noise. But I noticed that as well. And I was worried at the beginning that I'm like, oh God, we're going to have metal playing throughout the background of everything. And it's just going to ruin the tone of the show. But they took care of that, which is good.
Yeah. It was, I was happy with download. So we are heading to Plymouth. We're on the road to take over Cardiff. And how are you feeling as we're 5 weeks out now? Are we 6 weeks out from takeover Cardiff? You feeling like things are starting to heat up on the show?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think that things are ever really cooled off too much on the show, but yeah, I can tell that we're headed towards some stuff. I feel like we're headed towards a major event that it feels like there's going to be some explosive stuff happening, and I'm here for it. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's get to Cardiff.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, man. I can't wait to be there. So that was this week's show then, man. Unless you've got anything else to say on that, I think we can wrap up for this week, and I can go to bed. You can enjoy your evening. As we record this, I'm about to hit midnight. You are, I guess that means it's just gone half six.
It's 6:30 p.m. for me. So I still have a little bit of day left. So
I'm jealous. If I could just have continuous daytime, but like not get tired, I'd be okay with that. That'd be fine. I could stay awake all the time. Brilliant. Brent, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at BrentFFF on Instagram or Twitter, and FFF. Three Fs. That's a reference to the band I'm in that I make noise with. We're called Far From Fiction. We're available on Apple Music and Spotify and Rhapsody and Napster and all that other stuff.
A very, very small sample of your music also opens up and closes the show as well.
Hey, if you like the intro and outro music, that's us.
It's even shorter now since I've done the show anyway, but it's there. It's still there.
It's still there.
You can listen to myself. Sorry, you can follow myself on Twitter at Kyle Thomas West. You can also, the main one is this show, which is at We Are NXT UK. That's across all the social media things, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. As I said, if you want to go, now we're heading towards Plymouth, if you want to listen to our spoiler-free review of myself and Day Owen, who you can also follow at Day Owen, you can get that off our podcast feed. You can also go on to the Developmental Podcast. I am plugging another show on here, that is right, for their spoiler full review, which was some great fun. Interesting tidbit before we go off the air, just an awkward one, is that on our shows, we trashed Travelodge hotels. It's a recurring thing that Day does. He stays in Travelodges all the time. It's lovely. Day then, rather foolishly, when we met him about 2 hours later downstairs, he's chatting to the receptionist there, who we found out the night before was a massive wrestling fan himself. And as we leave the building, Day goes, I think I've just made a really big mistake. And you're like, oh, why? What have you done? And he's like, I've just given that guy the link to the podcast. or told him the name of the podcast. And he said he's going to go listen. I was like, right, okay. And I was like, oh, no. He's like, yeah, I've just been like completely, we've just been shitting on his employer. and his workplace.
Oh my god, he's either gonna love that or hate that.
Yeah, we were worried we weren't gonna get back in at the end of the night if you listen to it. So just a little funny story about why we should be careful of what we say on our podcast, and more importantly, we should be careful about telling strangers to listen to the podcast. Brilliant. Thank you for listening, guys. Looking forward to being back next week to chat about the Plymouth tapings. Enjoy your wrestling throughout the week. Watch Smackville this Saturday if you're a fan of the main roster or just want to watch some. I guess it'll be a really good triple threat match.
Triple threat has got me excited. Yeah.
Yeah, Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe versus Dolph Ziggler. We all know the way it's going, but that should be a good match, regardless of that fact. Anyway, remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts as a 5. Do not forget to subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to. Make your life easier for finding this show every single week. There isn't a more positive chat in NXT UK show out there than this one. And that is the goddamn truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Put
yes,
that on
yes,
a
yes.
shirt, Kyle.
I will, man. I will merch that motherfucker. And we will make and we'll make some money off it. I thank you for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.